Heshy Kalis, thank you for bringing the ice cream. And for everybody who's listening, yes, Heshy Kalis bought ice cream tonight, and we all enjoy the ice cream over the Dvar Torah. Okay.
At least Sharon here.
Okay.
Okay. Sharon listens every Friday.
Okay, Eila had Dvar, which is Dibe Maish. We're starting off with Chumash, Dvarim. Eila had Dvar. And Maisha goes ahead and he mentions names of places in the first pasuk. Eila had Dvar, which is Dibe Maisha, called Yisrael, Be'eva Hayarding. Ba'midbo, Ba'arovo, Mosuf, Ben Poron, Ben Teufel, Lovon Chatzeris, Dizov. And Rashi right away tells us that Maisha gave Divrei Techochis. Moshe gave Musar to Bnei Yisrael. And Rashi tells us that all the places that Moshe mentioned were not just the names of the places, but referring to the events that happened in these places and the chatoyim that Klal Yisrael did in these places. For example, Bamidbar refers to the times that Klal Yisrael tested Hashem in the Midbar and said, Halavai, we should have died in Mitzrayim, why did Hashem take us out? Barava refers to the Aveira Baal Pa'ar, they sinned by Arvos Mayov. Mosuf refers to the Yamsuf. Bein Poron, Teufel, and Lavon. Rashi brings down Amar Rabbi Yochanan. I went through all the psukim, and I don't find anywhere a place that's named Teufel or Lavon. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu mean with Teufel and Lavon? Moshe gave them Musa, Shetoflu Ahamon. They complained about the man, Shehu Lavon, which was white. And they said that Afshenu Katsa Balachim HaKalajah. And the Poron refers to Meraglim. Chatzeris refers to the Machlokes of Kairach. Moshe gave Musa. When he gave Musa, he covered it all. He didn't come out right and scream and attack. But Moshe gave Musa in a Bakovetic way. And he just mentioned names of places. And Klal Yisrael understood the Ramazim that Moshe was referring to. You do it, a Klayaka brings down that when a person gives Musa, a person should give Musa B'derech Remes. It's a hint. And not say it outright. We just had the Gemara tonight about embarrassing somebody. Even people did chatoyim that we wouldn't think twice about shaming such a person. Yet the Gemara mentions the idea of not naming the one who did the Aveira and not embarrassing the one who did the Aveira. When one gives Musa, one has to be careful not to embarrass somebody else. Not to embarrass the person. And we mentioned many times the Shira Kodosh, Taish is the Pasuk, Atachiach Leitz, Pen Yisna'eka, Posh Pshat is don't give Musa to a Leitz because a Leitz will hate you. He wants to fool around, do his taivis. He's not interested in hearing Musa. He'll hate you for the Musa. But a Chacham, give Musa to a Chacham who loves you. He wants to hear Musa. Says the Shulah HaKadosh. Al Tachiach Leitz. When you give somebody Musa, don't call him a Leitz. Don't tell him you're a Leitz, you're a Baal Aveira, you're a Baal Taiva. Pen Yisna'eka. Perhaps he'll hate you. You tell him he's a Baal Aveira, he'll hate you. Tein l'chacham. You know how to give Musa to somebody? Oh. Tell him you're a chacham. Tell him you're a mensch. You're really a good person. It's pasnished. You shouldn't behave like this. You're a good person. You're a chacham. Somebody who comes to learn every night. The Yehucha. It's pasnished for such a person to do such a thing. Call him a chacham. The Yehucha. And for that, he'll love you. He'll be makabel the Musa. When you give Musa to somebody, you can't come out and attack. Tell a person what a Baal Aveira he is. For yes, the echo for that, he'll hate you. But call him a chacham. And for that, he'll love you. The well-known story with the Chavetz Chaim, which anyway said over. One of his talmidim was Darshan a Magid, and he walks into a certain town, and he looks around, and he sees the town is doing this wrong and that wrong. So he decides he's going to speak and straighten everybody out. So he announces that he's a magid, he's here to speak, and he's going to speak in the shul. He comes into the shul to speak, and he gets up, and like they say in English, he starts preaching fire and brimstone. He starts yelling and telling the people all the chatoyim that they did and all the averis that they did. And as he talks, they start talking also, and the louder he talks, the louder the crowd becomes, until he can hardly hear himself speak, because the crowd is already talking amongst themselves louder than he is. And finally, he realizes if he doesn't stop, not only is nobody listening, but they're going to stop him. They're going to take him and throw him out. So he stops and he walks out and he's very puzzled. How come nobody was mekabel the musa that I gave him? Next time he went to the Chofetz Chaim, he told the Chofetz Chaim what happened. And he asked the Chofetz Chaim, I meant to l'shem shemayim. I meant to give them musa. They were doing this wrong and that wrong. And I spoke how I felt. How come it backfired? And nobody was mekabel. And not only weren't they mekabel, but they yelled louder than I did. The Chofetz Chaim asked him, tell me, how did you give them musa? Did you speak nicely or did you yell? Did you attack? And he said, what do you mean? I raised my voice the way it should be done and I yelled. Chofetz Chaim said to him, did you put tefillin on this morning? And he said, yes. Did you yell when you put on tefillin? Did you scream when you put on tefillin this morning? He says, of course not. So Chofetz Chaim said, the same way it's a mitzvah to put on tefillin, there's a mitzvah v'cheach t'chiach es ha-misecha, to give somebody musa. The same way you don't scream when you do a mitzvah putting on tefillin, there's no need to scream when you give somebody musa. When you give somebody musa, the goal has to be that the other person should hear what you say and be mekabel. If you want a person to be mekabel, it has to be given over in a nice way that people will accept it, people will listen to it. And Chaim Shlomitz writes many times that the ikka giving a person musa is to be careful not to embarrass the person. Very careful when you give somebody musa. A lot of times things have to be said, but it has to be said in a way not to embarrass somebody from giving musa. I know I told over the story, but it brings a smile. And there was a stroll. Bus driver was driving a bus, and a lady was embarrassed, probably a 9th month got on the bus, and she's standing, and nobody stood up to give her a seat. And the bus driver is driving the bus, and he's looking in the mirror, and he sees the lady is still standing, and nobody stood up to give her a seat. The bus driver got very upset. Bus driver stops the bus, stands up, and he says to the lady, you can have my seat. Ooh. Sit down. Afterwards, she got a seat. Okay. He accomplished a lot more by doing that than yelling and saying, how come nobody stood up? To give musa, a person has to have a seichel. A person has to know how to give musa. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave musa, was Eilat, when he spoke it in B'derech Remez. A person gives it over B'derech Remez, people are makabel, and a person accomplishes what he set out to do. It says in Pasuk Hey, Hoyo Moshe Beyes HaToyra Hazoy Sleimah Ve'eva Hayadim Beretz Moyov Hoyo Moshe Beyes HaToyra Hazoy Sleimah. Moshe explained the Torah. And Rashi brings down Beyes HaToyra B'shivim Loshoin Pirashilahem. Moshe explained the Torah in 70 Loshoins, in 70 languages. Why was it necessary to translate the Torah to 70 languages? So Poshit. That any guy who wants to learn, see what the Torah is about, could come and could join Klal Yisrael, be Megayer. This way the Torah should be available to all, and nobody should have a time, or the Torah wasn't available to us. So the Torah was translated to 70 Lashonis. The Chiddush Erim says a very sharp part. And he says, B'shivim Lashon, Be'ez HaTorah. Every nation in the world has its taiva that's known for. Every nation has its taiva, its aveira. For example, Esav, Bachar v'chasichia. Esav lives by the sword. Esav is Ritzicha. Geneva is Esav. Yishmael is known for Zanus. Mer says 10 kabbalah of Zanus came down to the world. Yishmael took 9. Every nation has their taiva, their aveira. The Torah was explained in 70 Lushainis. No matter what taiva a person falls on, no matter what aveira a person does, the Torah has the kayach to pick a person up and to help him do tshuva and overcome the tivus that he has. The Torah was explained in 70 lashonos, connected each of the aveira, each of the tivus of the 70 goyim in the world. That no matter how low a person falls, no matter what taiva a person falls into, with the Torah a person has the kayach to overcome the tivus of the world. As is well known, the Archaim HaKadosh writes in Pashas Va'era, that even though when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, we all know, had we stayed a minute longer in Mitzrayim, we would have fallen into the Nun Shari Tumah. Had we fallen into Nun Shari Tumah, it would be impossible for us to come out, writes the Arachai Makadosh. That's only true before Matan Torah. But after Klal Yisrael received the Torah, even though a person sinks into the 50th level of Tumah, with the Kayach of the Torah, a person could pick himself up and could rise above the 50th level of Tumah. Hayo Moshe, Beyas HaTorah Hazoy Sleimah. With the Kayach of Torah, a person has the ability to overcome any of the Tivus, of the Shimon Moshoinois, of the 70 languages, the 70 Goyim in the world, And no matter how low a person falls, by Torah has the koyach to arouse a person, to help a person to do tshuva. And a person should never fail that he fell too low to be able to do tshuva. The pasuk tells us in Perek Aleph, pasuk Yud Gimel, Hovu lachem anoshim chachomim v'yiduim. Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for dayanim, bali eitzis. Hovu lachem anoshim chachomim unavoinim v'yiduim l'shifteichem v'asimim b'roshreichem. So Rashi tells us already, what are nevoinim? Mevinim dava mitaych dava. Those that understand one thing from another. You tell them one, and they're able to already figure out something else, understand one from another. What's a chacham? What's a chacham? So Chazal tells us in Pirkei Avos, what's a chacham? Is that a chacham? Harayas Anayim? One who sees the future. One who sees the future. True. Rabbi Mikol Adam also. But is that a chacham? Harayas Anayim? One who sees the future. What's so special about seeing the future? If I can't. We're not supposed to go and look into the future. We don't go to the fortune tellers and those that predict the future. So what does it mean a chacham is one who sees the nihilah? He sees the future. Does he look at a crystal ball? Oh, it means that a person sees the future, he anticipates the results of his actions. What he does today, results. If he does this today, what will be tomorrow? What will be the next day? What will be next year? He's a person who anticipates his actions. By looking at the future, he anticipates the results of his actions. He knows what he can do, what he can't do. It's a chacham who sees the nailat. A famous story with the Briskarov. Briskarov would always tell over the story. In the town, before they had the cars, they had the wagon driver. And the wagon driver with his horses and his wagon, that's how he earned his parnasa. By driving people from one town to another, shopping packages. The coachman, the wagon, the balagong. The kids are one day, the balagong of the town is already getting quite old. He's getting old in years. And suddenly a young balagong pulls into town with his wagon. Uber comes into town with his wagon, with his horses. And a new wagon driver is on call. And the old wagon driver starts to lose parnasa because people now are using the young, strong wagon driver to do their shopping, their driving, and the old wagon driver is losing his parnasa. He approaches the young wagon driver and says, "Hasagas kavul, it's not fair, taking away my parnasa. I was the only wagon driver in town, and now you're coming and taking away my parnasa. I want to bring you to Bezdin." They start arguing back and forth. And finally, the older wagon driver says to the younger one, "I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I'll give you a test. I'll give you the wagon driver test. If you pass the test, you could stay. I won't say a word. But if you fail the test, you have to pack up your bags and you have to leave. I'll give you the test." "Okay, I'm ready. Make a deal, I'm ready." First question, what do? If you're driving the wagon, and the wagon is filled with people and packages, and suddenly, horse is pulling the wagon gets stuck in the mud. What do you do?
Easy.
How do you get the wagon?
Easy.
So it's easy. That's an easy question. First thing you do is you start lightening the load. You take off some of the packages, and you make the load light. And this way, hopefully the horse is able to pull the wagon out. Very good. Pass the first question. And what do you do if after you lighten the load, the wagon still is stuck in the mud? Easy. You take off all the packages in the wagon, empty off all the luggage, all the burdens, all the packages, and you try again. Excellent. And if the wagon still doesn't come in the mud, what do? Then you ask some of the people to come off of the wagon. And if after you ask some of the people to come off, the wagon's still stuck in the mud, what do? You ask everybody to come off. Very good. And if after everybody comes off and the wagon is still stuck, what do? You ask them to start pushing. Have everybody stand in the back of the wagon and have them start to push the wagon. And hopefully, by pushing the wagon, they'll be able to get the wagon out of the mud. And let's say everybody pushes, you empty it out of the wagon, everybody pushes, and the wagon is still stuck in the mud, what do? And he says, "I don't know. I give up. I don't know. There's no other answer. I don't know what to do."
Goodbye.
So the wagon driver says to him, "If that's the case, say shalom. You failed your test. Goodbye." Okay. Young one says, "A word's a word. Fine, I'll take my business somewhere else. But tell me before I go, what do? If your taka's stuck in the mud and nothing helps, how do you get the wagon out?" And the older driver says, I'll tell you the truth. I don't know either. But one thing I can tell you was that an experienced wagon driver knows not to get stuck in the mud in the first place. So Mr. Rob would say, we all get stuck in the mud sometimes.
Yeah.
Persons that we go through life, we all get stuck in the mud.
It's a gigantic force.
We all get stuck in the mud. But a person who's experienced, a person with a little seichel, when he sees himself starting to get stuck in the mud, he knows, I have to get out.
Future.
Because a person doesn't see himself getting stuck in the mud, he just sinks further and further until it's very difficult and very hard to get out. A chacham is one who sees the nylon, he sees the future, and he realizes when he's getting stuck, and he knows he's able to get out. Anoshim chachamim unevayim. A chacham is one who's able to see, is one who's able to see the future. The pasuk says in Perek Gimel pasuk Chaf Dalet, Hashem Elokeichem Hanucham Lachem. Hashem, who fights for you? Who fights all the mechamas for Klal Yisrael? Hashem. Did I miss it? No, I didn't pass it. Sorry. Gimel Chaf Beis. The end of, very end of the parasha. No, I'm sorry. Beis. Yeah, the last pasuk of the parasha. Sorry. The last pasuk of the parasha. Perigim uchaf beis. Loiti rom. Don't be afraid of the goyim. Ki Hashem elokeichem hu hanilcham lachem. Hashem is the one who fights for you. Hashem fights al mechamas. Klal Yisrael, we know if we go to mechama, it's the Rabbi Koyach, Rabbi Gvuru, it's not our strength. But it's all Tavoi in Hashem. And we know that Torah protects a person. The Torah that we learn protects and watches over Klal Yisrael. And Hashem is really the one who leads our Muhammad. But the truth of the matter is, all of us are fighting Muhammad. We all have our own Muhammad that we fight against the Yetzirah. Muhammad say Yetzirah, everybody has a Muhammad. And no two Muhammads are the same. Everybody has their own Yetziraharas and their own Muhammad. And again, the Chavetz Chaim once met the baker in town, once came over to the Chavetz Chaim, and asked the Chavetz Chaim for a bracha. Chavetz Chaim says to him, What's happening? How's Parnassah? He tells the Chavetz Chaim, Parnassah is very schwer. I'm a baker. Baker has to be up very early in the morning baking. The hours are long. I don't get any sleep. I work very hard. But on top of all of that, people complain and complain and complain. I give them bread. For one person, it's too well done. Baked too much. The other person, it's not baked enough. It's too hard. It's too soft. It doesn't taste right. Everybody has complaints. And not only that, at the end of the day, I have food left over. I have to sell it for a half price, a quarter of the price. Very difficult to make money. So please give me a bracha. Chavetz Chaim gives the baker a bracha. During World War I, Chavetz Chaim meets the same baker. And he says to the baker, "Nu, how's Parnassa?" The baker says, "Parnassa is gavaldik. Parnassa is great. It couldn't be any better." Chavetz Chaim says, "What happened? Everybody complains. What happened to all 12 of your complaints?" And he says, "The Chavetz Chaim, b'shas mochama, when there's a war going on, people take whatever food they can get. People take whatever they could. And there's no complaint about the bread being too soft, too hard, not baked enough, baked too much, too hard. Nobody complains, because during the time of war, a person takes whatever food they can get." So the Chavetz Chaim, same is true when it comes to our Torah mitzvahs. You know, we learn a lot of Gemaras. We see how Tanoim lived, how Moroyim lived. Are we on that Madrega? We can't be on that Madrega. We live in the world that we live in today. A lot of the sense, it's very difficult. And sometimes we say to ourselves, is it all worth it? Is it all? What's my mitzvah worth? I come to learn my hour at night. I go to shul, I daven. I'm not living a life of ruchnius a whole day. Is it worth it? B'shas mochama, when there's a mochama going on, the Yetzihara is very, very strong. And no one denies that in our times, the Yetzihara is very, very strong. Wherever a person turns, there's no escaping. Used to be you could escape the Yetzihara behind closed doors. Now it's not shy anymore. You can't escape the Yetzihara wherever he is. Anyway, he's all over. Fakat, when there's a mochama, when there's a war going on, whatever a person could do is worth a lot. Whatever Torah a person is able to learn, whatever mitzvahs a person can do, whatever davening a person does, it's all worth a lot. And a person should never think to himself, what's my davening worth? What's my learning worth? Fakat. in today's day and age, definitely times of Mashiach, before Mashiach comes, definitely every mitzvah that a person does, Mashas Muchama, it's worth a lot. The Shemayim, there are no complaints that the mitzvah wasn't fully done, the mitzvah wasn't fully baked, the mitzvah was too soft, the mitzvah was too hard. There are no complaints. Whatever mitzvahs we could send it to Shemayim, are worth a lot. And even though to us it might seem like it's small, it's nothing major, but in a time of Muhammad, every bit is worth a lot. So it's a lot to mechazik ourselves in the mitzvahs and the learning that we do. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, so we're all familiar with the Gemara of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. Everybody knows the story. Kamsa Bar Kamsa, Gemara brings down and Gittin, who Gavra makes a party, he invites his friend Kamsa, the enemy is Bar Kamsa, the Shamus mixes it up. Instead of inviting the friend Kamsa, he invites Bar Kamsa. Bar Kamsa comes to the party, and Ahu Gavra says to him, "You're my enemy, what are you doing here?" He says, "Please, I came, don't embarrass me, don't throw me out, I'll pay you for the food and the drink that I eat." He says, "No, I'll pay you for half of the Suda." "No, I'll pay you for the entire Suda." Gemara says, "Kum," he told him, "Kum, get up, puk, get out," and he throws him out. And after he's thrown out, he says, the Rabbanon was sitting there by the Suda, and the Rabbanon didn't say anything, didn't protest. Vaistar said they agreed, and therefore he went ahead, and he went to the king, and he's the whole Churban, the whole story starts. Rav Shua, I heard him say this over years ago, put down the Sefer Ezel Yo. This is over a very nice insight into the whole Gemara. Sometimes we find that Klal Yisrael is judged al Pidin, by the letter of the law. As soon as we find that Hashem does l'fnim b'shira sadin, Hashem judges us favorably l'fnim b'shira sadin. When are we judged al pidin? When are we judged l'fnim b'shira sadin? In Shemayim, they decide, let's go and look at the generation and let's see how the dor behaves. If the generation behaves towards each other with l'fnim b'shira sadin, the midah connected midah, Shemayim, they'll treat us l'fnim b'shira sadin. But if the generation is a generation that lives up pidin, everything has to be up pidin, and no one's meichel, no one gives in, then a Shemayim, they treat us very strictly up pidin. At that time, there was a need in a Shemayim what to do with this generation. Should we judge them up pidin and bring the churban, or should we overlook certain avarice and give them a fnim b'shira sadin? Let's see how the rabban of that generation paskin. Let's see what happens. Came the party. The whole mix-up comes about. Comes the party. Well, it was by the party. Al pidin, the Baal HaBos had every right to throw him out. This is my party. I'm paying for it. I don't want you here. You're my enemy. Leave. Al pidin had every right to throw him out. After the Mashiach said, you don't be mine. After all, he made you a good offer. He offered to pay for the whole Suda. And still, he threw him out. The Rabbanon sat there. And the Rabbanon allowed it to happen. The Rabbanon just passed that this generation is judged al pidin, not with the Mashiach said. When that happened, Shemayim, they paskin the midah keneged midah. That generation will be judged al pidin, and there's no room for l'fnim b'shira sadin, and the churban began. It's a powerful lesson, especially during the 3 weeks, the 9 days. Sinas chinam was one of the causes of the churban. Fakir, a person has to go out of his way to do l'fnim b'shira sadin towards other people, and not to be so stubborn. I'm right. L'fnim b'shira sadin, and every little bit that a person does helps. And even small things, being nice to one another, l'fnim b'shira sadin, will bring about the gula and the binyan beis hamikdash. And we all know Chazal tell us that any generation which the beis hamikdash was not rebuilt, kilu nechrav, as if the beis hamikdash was destroyed b'yomav in his days. Which is quite difficult. We didn't rebuild the beis hamikdash, but we didn't destroy it either. So Mefarshim say the pshat is any generation that didn't contribute towards the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Every dar has its contributions towards the building. If we didn't contribute, that's what the Gemara means, is ki'ilu, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in our days. How do we contribute? We're not going to bring bricks and cement to build the Beis HaMikdash. How do we contribute? If the Mishra Sadin, we go ahead, noeg ava one towards another, we learn, daven, we do the best that we can. So let's be mechazik ourselves right now, and by ben adam mechaveroi, ben adam lemakoyim, and mitzvah Hashem, which we zeicha karolai moye, Tisha B'Av should turn into a yomte, which we zeicha to by shlishi, Mashiach zakeinu meherav yemeinu, amen.